This episode of the RMR Training Podcast is brought to you by Resolute Coffee. So if you've heard of Resolute Coffee and you've wanted to give it a try, but you're not sure where to start, I'm going to break it down for you. So if you like your coffee to be like a straightforward coffee taste, chocolatey, what you know traditionally as coffee, something clean and nice, what you're going to want to look for is the processing, and it's going to be washed. Wash takes all of the fruit off of the bean, so you're left with just a straightforward coffee bean. And then you get those straightforward flavors. If that's what you're looking for, the Black Condor from Resolute is for you. If you want something a little bit more exotic, something a little bit more fruit forward, something a little bit more unexpected, something a little bit more of an adventure in your cup, then you want to look at that process, and natural is going to be probably the most fun type of cup. You're going to get a lot more fruit forward flavors. Natural leaves a lot of that fruit from the coffee on the bean, so when you get the, so when you make the actual coffee itself, you get some of those fruit flavors. The natural Ethiopian, that's the bomb here. If you want something, some sort of blend of both, there's a hybrid processing called a honey process, which leaves some of the fruit onto the coffee bean. So it's like a natural, like a half and half type of natural and washed processing. The Aponte honey or any honey processing is going to be awesome for you. Whichever one you go with, it's going to be top quality stuff. RR20 at checkout for 20% off. Or if you want to try them all, they have the, you can join the Crush It Club and you get a variety of 5 bags and a mug. So check that out. Link down in the show notes. All right. Hello. Welcome. RMR Training Podcast. My homie Ryan Kent with me today. Missed you last week. And another homie, Alex Ronchevich. Ronchevich?
Hey, yeah, that's right.
It's the RAR show today.
RAR. Wait. Yes, RAR show. Sounds like a gun. I like it.
I thought it sounds like RAR, like a dinosaur or a lion.
We'll go dino, the dinosaur show today. You guys are out there in Cyprus. We are, what time are you guys right now? It's Saturday morning over here in Colorado.
What is it, just past 5? Just past 5 p.m.
So you guys have been it's been a minute. You guys have been out there for a long time.
Yeah, I left on Wednesday last week, so 10 days now.
Yeah,
10 days. And I gotta say though, the more I travel abroad, the easier it gets. Like I haven't had really any issues with the time zone, sleeping, like anything like that. It's been okay. So,
Alex, are you on like spring break, or you just let the kids are just on their own for this week?
Oh, it's spring break.
Oh, sweet, and that's like perfect.
It's spring break until like Tuesday. So when I arrive, like. Tonight at home, I have another 2 days off just to recover from that week. For me, it was pretty long too, like being eight days away from home, training here hard with all these guys. It was just awesome, but I think it's time to go home.
I would imagine.
We've just been like killing ourselves here. You know, because we're coaching, we're having to do the sessions, you know, most of the sessions with them, but we're also still getting in our own training. And yeah, I think we've just been able to push ourselves to a different level, having, you know, similar athletes around, you know, like, for example, like we did that 400 meter workout and we were probably 8 to 10 seconds faster per rep. We would do if we were at home by ourselves. So I think it's been really great. It's been fun to see Alex, you know, see how hard he works. And it's no, you know, I see now why he is the athlete that he is. So
Alex, who,
for us too, it was like a big experience, like being here, seeing all the other people like how they train. Even the like normal guys here were on a very good fitness level. For me, it was a bit surprising.
Yeah,
I can say how hard they were pushing and training and trying. Doesn't matter if it was like a track workout or it was like a hybrid high rock session. They were really, really strong. I wouldn't have like imagined it. If somebody told me this before, I would be like, okay, we're going like to a camp with normal dudes. And we're showing them what's going on, but I learned something from them too. It was a really good experience, like seeing them, how hard they try, even if they have like smaller goals than we have. But it's
like the camp we do, but on a much bigger scale. So like, you know how hard everyone pushes, dude. Everyone gives their absolute everything, every single session. And I'm like, how? Like, I've taken two rest days since I've been here, and everyone else is just doing like 2 to 3 sessions a day. And they just love it. They love it.
So you guys are in Cyprus. This is, they call it athletic camps. I guess just give us an overview of what it is. I mean, this is a camp that's been going on for a couple of years now, right? And it was also like triathlon camps for a bit. Just give us a little background, because I mean, you're in Cyprus. I've been following your story, seeing what you guys have been doing. But like, what exactly is it?
Yeah, so I just got brought onto the team. This is my first time doing this. Luke has been doing this for maybe a few years.
I think 2 years.
2 years. And they have like deals with the hotels. I mean, they have business with everyone here, to where like they've built like relationships. So it just makes sense for them to come to Cyprus. And, you know, most of the people here are from Germany, a few from the UK, and just like-minded people who are trying to get better at high rocks, you know. And it's very similar to what we are doing in the States, like I said, but just on a grander scale.
Ken, what do you got? Like, hit me with some German. Yeah, Alex, could you translate what he just said there? That's good.
I try to tell them that there's like an S, there's like a, like something, and they're like, no, there's not. That's not what we sound like.
I think they are correct in what they're telling you with that one. No donkas, some pitas, a ganao here and there, nothing. Come on, dude. I got like 4 or 5 words. Kent, you've been out there, nothing.
Got nothing.
We need you here.
I could translate for Meg and Kent. They're not saying shit.
Well, I thought there's 5 people here that, at least in the first week, that only spoke English. Everyone else spoke German and English. And in the beginning, it was kind of like mostly German, and then kind of like halfway through, I think everyone just started speaking English. Basically because of me and Meg.
Yeah. So if we want to correspond with these idiots, we gotta give them a little bit of English here.
And they're always so apologetic, like, sorry, our English is so bad. And I'm like,
no, and it's always so good. It's always so good. Is it like German speaking, just it seems to translate so much better. Like you make the same noises, it seems like.
It's better than your German.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. My German is very bad.
No donkas, nothing. Hit nobody with no donkas. That's crazy. So, squad, we're about 10 weeks out now, right? From yesterday. So, we have 10 weeks until the big race out there. And so, have you guys picked out your walkout music? Alex, what was your walkout music last year?
It was from like an Austrian rapper, like Raf Camora.
Unfamiliar.
But in Germany, in Austria, in Switzerland, it's very popular. And it's about like a fast 500 horsepower car, driving away from the police and
get you fired up.
Yeah.
But
I have not picked out my song.
What were you last year?
I didn't pick one.
Morgan Wallen? What'd they do for you?
We'll see. Huh?
What'd they pick for you? You don't even remember?
I honestly don't remember. I have no clue.
Didn't pick out your pump up music. So 10 weeks out.
I don't need pump up music.
You could have used it last year.
Had that
in your head. That's a good burn too, Alex. Thank you. Because I wasn't in the race.
Oh shit!
appreciate it.
Okay, now you had a lot of time. You had like 2 years to find one. But
I was just gonna be. I was ready to give Buzz Kent balls, but like you could use that pump up music during the wall balls would have got you there. But Alex came through and dunked on me for you. You guys are roommates now. I see how it goes. You guys are loyal like that. I appreciate it. So I've just kind of started ramping back up. I'm like 2 weeks into a block. I guess it'll be 11 and 12 week block on my end. So I'm just kind of going up right now. And I did a couple of specific Hyroxy type workouts, and they're hard. They're very hard for me right now. So I still am like kind of going up into where I'm ultimately going to want to be in like 4 to 6 weeks or so. Where are you guys at right now in your training? Like, what's the focus 10 weeks out from a big event like this?
You're going to go. Yeah, I'll start. Yeah. So a couple weeks ago I was on the show and I said that I needed a break from everything, mostly just like a mental break. So after Washington, I took quite a bit of downtime and I knew on April 1st that was going to start my 10-week build, so this upcoming Monday, and I just wanted to do enough during these kind of down weeks to where, like, when I start ramping back up my training, I'm not like getting sore every day. I'm just, you know, not getting my butt kicked. So that's really all I've been doing. I've taken plenty of rest days. I would say more quality over quantity. Like whenever I was training, it was kind of intense. I feel rejuvenated. I feel, even coming here to Cyprus, like this experience, I think was what I needed to get me out of just like the funk that I felt like I was in. You know, so I'm excited to get back to the States. And like I said, Monday we start the next block. And training has just been kind of fun for me lately. It's like here, whatever someone else is doing, I might hop into their workout. I didn't have like a plan for anything, you know? And that's been nice for me because I'm usually so regimented that like I don't deviate from the plan at all. You know this, you know, so for once to just have some freedom and flexibility to just enjoy training for once, it's been really nice.
And honestly, like this far out to be Hyrox from 12 weeks until the day of, it's how much can you actually like progress walking lunges, you know? So like having some variety in there, like now's a good time, it seems like, to make it a bit more fun, work on some things that you might not typically do. I think that's a good move. Alex, what's your focus like?
Like for me right now is like to keep that what I've like done this week, the next 2 weeks maybe, because I'm racing in Cologne, a double mixed in 2 weeks. I'm going to ease off like, I don't know, maybe 3 days before, 2 days before, just do some easy sessions, have fun. And then enjoy my race there on Saturday. And yeah, and then from Monday after Cologne, I will like do as always, like go 2 hard weeks, 1 easier week, and then so on and so on. I'm not really like having a big plan going into Nice. As always, I'm trying like all to stay fit. And my main focus after Vienna was like to improve on my runs, to improve the running. As we all saw, like the sleds were getting a bit lighter, especially on the majors. And if Nice is going to be pretty similar, like the majors, we're going to have lighter sleds. So a lot will be decided on the runs. So I think we're all going to need to focus on them if we want to stay in the front and be at the top at the very end. And yeah, that's where my focus is. And yeah, just maybe a bit of strength work to improve some max power for the sleds, for the stations, if they get harder. But yeah, I mean, I'm always ready to race, always in good shape. So I will do no like big changes before Nice. I'll do everything like I did like in Manchester, like I did in Vegas, like I did before Leipzig. So it's gonna be pretty much the same. And yeah, I always like having 1-2 training sessions a week where I just have fun, where I just go in without any plan, just wake up in the morning, see how I feel, and then go for it.
Hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but he doesn't really have these like big progression blocks that we typically do.
Sounds like
he just kind of stays on the same level like all of the time, you know, whereas I kind of need those, you know, kind of ebbs and flows of training.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fast right now, man. This guy, he needs to film a mile. He claims that he can run a 4:10 mile.
That's what right I heard.
Now. I need 4:10. To see it.
Alex, I can, if you can run a 4:10 mile, I can swim sub-4 freestyle in the 400.
Yard.
Cool. Yard. So
I told him next week if I feel good one day I'll try it.
Just go.
But I'm sure I can go under 4:20. I can go.
I would be very impressed. What you don't? What is your PR?
Yeah.
I don't have a PR.
Right. That's just like it's.
It doesn't happen.
Maybe eventually, but at one shot, the mile is just so easy to screw up. Same with like the 800. Like you can just not feel it. Maybe if you had a training block of it, but hey, sub-4:20, love to see it. That would be faster than every high rocks athlete by 15 seconds. Yeah.
Okay, I don't think I'll try it. Let you know. I'll record it and I'll let it. I'll have
500 euros,
a bike going around that you can see that I'm not like
got wave light.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like your GPS watch. Sometimes that'll pop early on a mile.
I don't have a GPS watch. I don't have a watch.
You don't even do that. No training block, no watch. Just out there doing work.
I have my phone.
You gotta run. If you run like a 4:10 with your phone in your hand, oh my God. We're all in trouble.
We're running 62 second laps with the phone in his hand.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, I would think at a mile, if the Elite 15 right now, Kent, you're running what, 5:03?
Realistically, probably 4:40.
Yeah. I would probably be 4 at sea level. Are you freezing? You got me?
You're freezing a little bit.
You're freezing, bro. Can you hear me?
You're good.
I'd probably be at sea level, probably 4:35. Maybe if I put a little bit of time, maybe 4:32. Oh. But anyone else in Elite 15? I'm not sure. I don't think anyone's going faster than 4:30.
Also, like most people aren't touching on that type of intensity in their training. Whereas Alex touches on that stuff quite often.
Mm. Yeah, so maybe you're a little bit more prepared.
And that's been eye-opening for me.
Alex, what's your like weekly volume for running? You got me? You
can hear us?
I hear you.
Yeah.
You got me? Can you hear me? Yeah. Dang, it was going so well.
Yeah. What was the question you asked?
Alex, what's like your weekly volume like for running?
Just for running, it's about 50 to 60 kilometers.
Okay.
Like per week.
So 30 to 40-ish miles, that would be?
Yeah, it's like 4 runs, like short, long intervals, like a tempo run between 8 to 12K, about going, I don't know, at 3:30. On per kilometer, and then it's like a trail run somewhere around 15 kilometers, and the compromise.
You go for trail runs?
The compromise runs.
Yeah. Nice.
Did you tell them that run we
but
did?
These are pretty fast.
In Vienna? What was that park called that we went in Vienna, Kent?
Yeah, I showed them.
That place is awesome.
I don't remember what it was called.
I don't remember either, but it was great. It was really nice.
There are a couple of nice places. I mean, the mountains aren't that big, but yeah, you can do like some trail running there too. Yeah.
And then like how many like hours a week would you say you're training then?
15 to 20.
15, 20. Yeah.
Not more. Yeah. A lot of work is like quality. Because just like of my swimming background, I used to swim like 60 to 80 kilometers per week. And that's like, so I have a big base. Especially in like zone two. And that's what I'm now like really focusing on, like being fast and holding that pace and just doing high rock specific stuff.
Yeah, swimming's...
He'll go hard for 2 or 3 days in a row and then have like one easy day and then another 2 or 3 days. You know, switching the modalities, you know, maybe running, then ergs the next day, whatever.
So I'm just, like I said, I'm just ramping up and I had like two pretty hard weeks in this last, yesterday I had this effort where I was just like, all right, I'm going to do 2 20-minute like AMRAPs essentially of just like ski, row ski run and just try to get as many meters as I possibly can in these two, 20-minute blocks. And trying to get my like heart rate up to this area of like anaerobic threshold, like kind of like race pace and just kind of like sitting there and holding it. And because I'm just still ramping up, my fatigue was just so great so early that my heart rate couldn't really get where I wanted it to go. And my RPE was just really high and the effort and the pace like was like, okay. And I was like, okay, like I'm just tired today. And then, so I'm going to take a little bit of like a non-planned like day back today. Alex, on your end, because you're doing more intensity, like when do you know that you're needing a break? Like what kind of like, are you looking at metrics or are you just kind of feeling it out on yourself? Or is it like, I can't do more than 3 days in a row hard and I need to kind of take something down?
I mean, we talked about this the last couple of days. It's really hard to find out when is the time to go through it, like to train tired, to make session even if you feel tired, and when is like the time to back off and say like, okay, I need a rest day. So for me, it's like almost every day in the morning I can say like, okay, today I'm going for a workout or I'm not going for a workout. If I haven't slept very good the night before, or if my nutrition wasn't good the day before, or if I have a lot of work, if I'm like working and then coaching during the day or doing some other stuff I have to do. And if it's going to be very late, let's say I couldn't make it to the gym before 8 or 9, then times I'll say, okay, let's skip it and do it tomorrow or do it in the morning or something. Yeah. But I'm trying just to have like one rest day a week. And one day where it's like easy, where I do something, but not intense.
One full day of rest?
Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe I do some mobility or I don't know.
Like, it's pretty crazy how different some of us train, right?
Because Ken, with you and I on that level, it's way less intuitive. Like we can kind of project how like based off of what the previous work would be. It's like, okay, if I do this day, I'm not going to feel great. And so, and it usually works out pretty well that way. But maybe it's like we're selling ourselves short with that, where it is like maybe being a little bit more intuitive. It's like, hey, can I go hard today? And using all these other like more softer metrics. Cause it sounds like that's what you're doing, Alex. You're just kind of being like, how am I feeling? How are all these other things? Cause are you like, do you like, it doesn't sound like you track your HRV or your sleep metrics. You're just like, get up and you're like, today I'm going hard, or today not going hard.
Yeah, it's most of the time it's just feeling.
That's awesome.
And I told the other guys here at the camp too, it's like when they ask me like, how do you know if you're ready on the day if you do a Hyrox? I don't know until the ski erg, but if I'm like 300 or 400 meters into the ski, I can tell you immediately, like I'm gonna be at the podium or I'm not gonna be at the podium. Because it's just a feeling. And it doesn't matter how the sled's gonna be. I just know. It's like, yeah, it's hard to explain.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, well, it's like you rarely have off days. So whatever you're doing coming into the, like, what was your last bad race?
Chicago.
You consider like Chicago
last year in February.
Fourth.
Like, yeah.
You battled for that fourth too.
Yeah. It was easy. But yeah, I had like the European champs before and the double race before. And that was a lot of traveling. My dad was there too. And, but yeah, it was a great experience. And, I tried to do better at that time in November in Chicago at the first major. And it was a bit better, not perfect, but I was happy with it. And yeah, like Ryan is saying, like the more you travel, the more experienced you get, the better you can like see how you act, how you can do, how you can perform at the races like overseas. And yeah, you need that experience. Even if sometimes you don't perform well, you need to take that and try to do it better next time.
You know, I knew this training block that I wanted to add. We talked about it. I wanted to add more intensity,
mm-hmm.
this block. And then after coming here and being around Alex and some of the other athletes here, I think I'm making the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like 2 days a week, that's the standard running protocol, right? But like, we're not just runners. We do a lot of other stuff too. And we can get extra intensity without the impact that running would give you, you know? So I've been very cautious about how much intensity I do in the past, but I think it's time to take the training wheels off, I guess, and really just see where this can go, you know?
And that is the kind of the line, right? Like when it's not impact stuff, it's like the feedback you can get from just running. And maybe Alex, you're used to knowing what your body feels like because your background is in an endurance sport that is no impact, right? So like you can go hard and like you can understand like maybe how your nervous system's feeling, where like Kent and I from running backgrounds, a lot of the feedback we get is like muscular, right? It's like, I feel pain. Like I feel bad. So I should probably pull back because running is just brutal that way. And yeah, I agree with you, Kent, that we're kind of like, let's not, because we don't really know like how it's going to feel bad or what like a negative feedback would be from doing too much intensity. Yeah. Cause I think about that with CrossFitters too. I mean, CrossFitters go hard 6 days a week, 5-6 days a week, you know, doing different stuff, but and less volume in their intensity, but they're still doing a lot of intensity. So that's something I try to think about a lot too, is like, how fatigued is my like heart, you know, like my nervous system, like, and can it take, and how much can it take? Can it just keep taking it until we just explode, or, that's interesting. So going to keep that rolling. I've been doing a little bit more CrossFit, been about 2 extra days of just like upper body. Cause that's where I kind of fall. I don't do, and it was eye opening doing the CrossFit Open, is that almost every single workout was limited because my upper body muscular endurance. And I was like, okay, I am just kind of skipping this in my Hyrox training because everything I feel like needs to be like all out strength, lower body stuff. And so upper body, I kind of just skip, but not now. I'm doing bench every day. I'm get yoked, dude. All bench press.
Zero chance. Speaking of CrossFit though, we should shout out Miriam.
Woo!
For winning the CrossFit Open.
Came in.
Like, that's crazy.
Swooped in, just took that CrossFit money. It was light for her. She's like, this is easy.
No, did she get 15 grand, right?
Was it that much to win the full Open? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You get like two stacks
a
win.
She won an event, so
that's two stacks.
Okay, so she made 17.
And she got second
in another workout.
I don't think second gets anything.
So maybe like 18,000.
I don't think they give top three.
Okay.
That's
yeah, pretty sure it's 15,000 for.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's
fucking. Mm-hmm.
She's good. She wasn't going to win that in High Rocks. For a High Rocks athlete doing curls, came, swooped in, took that money, and is out.
We're fit, yo. High Rocks athletes are no joke. Did you see that prize money for Doha?
Yeah. When is Doha?
It's bigger than the majors.
When is that? Are you guys going to go?
It's May.
It's May. First or the second weekend?
First or second weekend in May. Yeah, Alex is gone.
You're going to
go? I just saw like Sandy's story where he's talking about going at 54. And then I'm like, okay, I need to be there to help him like going at 54.
Yeah, that's why you would go. Give him a little boost. Yeah, May 10th. Is when that's going to be. That's on his home.
Isn't that crazy, though, that they can put up more money than the majors?
I mean, it's not coming from High Rocks. It's probably coming from...
The world championships need to be in Dubai. Because then they could just put up whatever they want.
Yeah, they might. They might eventually. Because they, I mean, it makes sense for an event that's not a world championship because they want to attract people. If it was a world championship, they probably wouldn't need to put up money and people are going to show up anyway. You know what I mean? Like these places, they're just like incentivizing whoever to come here and showing that it's like values sports. But that's, how far of a trip is that for you, Alex? It's still kind of a haul, right?
It's like 5 hours, I think.
Oh, that's it?
5 hours. Like,
oh, you got it.
I don't think it's... Yeah.
Where is Doha? I mean, when we flew from
Frankfurt?
Yeah, we were that your accent is just great, dude. You can tell you've been hanging out. You've been hanging out there. Yeah, because when we went from I actually don't know. Okay. Yeah, Doha is closer. Cause when we flew from Frankfurt to Dubai, that was like, wasn't it like 10 hours, 8 hours?
Something like that. Maybe.
It was like 7 or 8 hours, I think. I think it was 10 and then 8. Yeah, but Doha's a little closer. Dude, go get that money, Alex.
I mean, it's for me, it's like just too close to Nice, and I'm going to be like training and preparing for that race. It's way more important for me. Yeah, I mean, I'll let Sandy have his home race.
It'll be about a month. Yeah, it'll be about a month. Which is tight. Are you racing in Cologne?
We're going to be in Cologne. We're going to be in Cologne next week.
That's next
week. Two weeks.
Yeah. That's crazy. So, are you racing?
We're doing a relay.
You're just going to hop on a relay?
Me, Luke, Linda, and Meg.
Okay. You guys didn't want that smoke for the men's relay? Can you put something together?
I wanted to do it, but he's got his doubles with another partner.
Who's your partner for mixed doubles?
Alice. She raced in Stockholm in the Elite.
What's her last name?
Austria. Alice Schurer.
Okay. Nice. So they're coming after your record. Your record, Kent. You're going to beat that 51, what is it, 51-18?
We don't think so, but we're going to try like to win the race and maybe qualify for Nice. And then in Nice, we'll have like one race a day, like Friday the Elite race, Saturday the double, and on Sunday the big team relay.
Is she on your relay, the team relay?
Yeah.
Kent, did you get the call for the relay? Are you in?
I'm in, dude.
That's a mistake, man. Dude. We need to do a time trial for that because I need to be on that team.
There is zero chance Hunter is calling.
No, I know that, but that's because he doesn't have good sports sense. He's not going to be a good coach. What stations are you going to
get? I mean, the results.
Dude, I have the fastest burpee broad jumps ever in up.
We could go any which way. I mean, I think anyone, because the women will do the women's weight and then the men will do the men's weight. So, you know, if a female wanted to do the sleds, we could put them on the sleds.
They should do the sleds. I think they should do the sleds. Yeah.
Hunter will probably at least, he'll take the ski.
He should do, he should do both ergs. You might do, you could do the row.
Yeah.
And then he might be able to do burpee broad jumps. But he's really good on the row too.
Yeah. I mean, he's good at everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. A girl should do the wall balls at the end for sure.
Definitely.
Way faster.
Definitely. And then, yeah, I don't know, Kent. I think that I'll make sure to let them know I'm an alternate.
I mean, I wasn't holding my breath. I was like, when he called me, I was like, I thought you lost faith in your boy after these last two races.
Dude, one K,
nah, man, that's what you can do.
1K in the burpee broad jumps, I give myself plus 10 seconds on you. That's the spread, at least. Plus, and I think that's good money. I think that's good value.
10 seconds. You might be right. You might be right.
That's done in under 5 minutes or. Yeah.
Yeah. I did it in the relay in Dallas. It was like 4 something. It was like 4. Yeah. It's probably under 5 with the transition. I don't know. That's going to be fun though. I'll cheer for you guys, even though I'm going to be sour about it. You need to get a second.
Get faster, bro.
Nah, see, now you're just, that's what I'm telling you. Plus 10. We need to get a second American team in there just so we can go up against you. Bust that ass.
The B squad.
The B squad.
The B team.
Take 1-2 on the podium. I mean, the B team on the U.S. would still be good.
It would.
Can, are you doing any races up until Nice?
I'd like to do the last chance qualifier in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the second heat or something, if they allow that.
You'd want to do the full thing?
I was going to do New York. I was going to do New York the week before and maybe go hard until the row and then like drop out or something. But we're trying to get over to Europe before then. So I think New York is out of the question now.
It'll be tough. And it's sold out.
I think I'm this trip, like I got my first real great night of sleep on like day 7 here. I was sleeping okay, but I got my like a great night of sleep once I was here like a week. So 10 to 12 days would be perfect.
10 days would be awesome. 10 days would be really good. So it took you about 7 and you're, what are you about 8? We'll put you on Colorado time still because you're not like adjusted to East Coast time. By any means. So like the day.
Yeah.
So like 1 day per hour, that seems to line up.
Mm-hmm. What's been going on your end, man? I feel like we've been disconnected.
We've been disconnected. You've been doing stuff. You've been out there just hanging out on the beach. I'm over here grinding away.
You're coming next time. No, you're going to come next time.
We'll see. We'll see. Other than just training, man. Just getting things back together. Gearing things up. I got a bike trainer. That's something that I'm adding is more cycling this time through. Alex, you ever get on like a C2 bike or just like a road bike or anything?
I have a mountain bike. And a bike for the city, like a city bike. Which I'm like going to work.
Commuter bike.
The very is okay. But I like to bike too. Yeah, sometimes I do like 2-3 hour rides or some trail biking or mountain biking. And it's fun. Yeah, but it's more like in summer or during spring. And yeah.
That C2 bike would be clutch.
Be clutch. It's just like a little too expensive. And yeah. Like takes up space.
I've been on it a little bit being here, done a couple interval sessions and That shit will pump your legs, man.
Big time. Big time. So I think there's
more than like sled push and
mm-hmm. So I think it will translate to sled push and to lunges. Those two. And maybe even sled pull. Because that ends up being a bit of a limiter, especially when the weight is moving well. I start to feel it like more in my legs than like struggling to move the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really it over here. Just getting some cycling in. I got a bike. I have a gravel bike now. I'm getting it serviced, but I'm like too scared to take the thing outside. I'm not trying to fall down. That's nice. So a question for you guys. Are you guys offended that Hunter is just out there on his mountain bike, just playing games, thinking he can goof around and still come into the world championships and win?
No, that's, he does a ton of that stuff all the time.
I would be offended.
That's like a big part of his training.
Yeah. And then he's like, hey, if I take a spill, no big deal. I'm still awesome.
I honestly didn't know like that he fell off the bike or that something happened, because I'm not following him on Instagram or on YouTube, or I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's training. So yeah. I mean, we are good together. I like him. I appreciate his work. As a sportsman,
I respect him.
And every time he shows up, like, we are good together, and it's always a good race. It's always good racing him, and that's what I expect in Nice, like going head to head with him and you guys, and let's see who's just better that day and who will earn the title.
Do you guys think about
this is going to be the hardest year for him to win?
Yeah, I would think that that's the case. It better be.
And I think he knows that. He knows that. He's gone to extreme levels, you know, hiring coaches and dietitians to get everything in order, because I think he knows that he can't get caught slipping.
That's what I'm saying with the mountain bike. Stay off that thing. Muzzy's like, it's fine. No problem. I'll just goof around. These guys are chumps.
I mean, that's the same as trail running. You could clip a root or a rock.
I won't be. You won't catch me on the trails for this block. Not often. For that reason, I'm not like, if I turn an ankle, I'd be like, that was so stupid. We're all roads.
Need some trails, dude. I went on a trail run in South Carolina the day before I left to come out here. The terrain is insane.
Just roots.
It's so technical. It's some of the most technical terrain that I've ever been on. It got so steep at some points that my hands were on my knees.
Really?
Like, just power hiking up. I was like, am I in Colorado right now?
That's awesome.
Like, where? Yeah.
And you're able to breathe.
I love that, man. Like, that's where I get a lot of my power in my lower body, is from running hills. Which in the wintertime, the last training block, I didn't get to do a bunch of that because it was wintertime and the trails are covered in so much snow.
Right.
But not anymore.
So do you guys think you're a competition when you're training? Or is it just like, I'm locked in, here I am. Like, doesn't matter what anyone else, doesn't matter what's going to happen on race day? Or are you visualizing like actually racing the athletes?
Wait, what do you mean?
Like when you're training,
like together?
No, well, or, maybe just like in general.
I'm like hitting the workout or the gym when I go there. I know why I came here. I know what my goal is, and I'm working like in my own like tunnel vision, and I'm just focusing on what has to be done on that day, and. Yeah, for sure. I think maybe if I'm going through a workout, if I'm like skiing hard or rowing hard or running hard, I'm thinking, okay, what would Hunter do? What would Ken do? What would Dylan do? And yeah, that helps me like to don't give up at any point. But I'm just like trying at every session to give it all, to give it my best. because that's all you can do. You can't, it doesn't matter what are you thinking about. You can go, you need to beat yourself every day. And that's it. And that's where you get better.
Mm. I think we realize in this camp being here that we can push ourselves harder than what we do in our training by ourselves most of the time. And this morning I went for like I'm using kilometers now. I'm full on.
You're converted now. What?
I went for a 20K run today.
Wow.
Not 12 miles, 20K. And I did a little fartlek in the middle. And I would have been okay with a certain pace, but I knew from previous sessions that I've done with Alex that like if Alex was here with me right now, I would be running much faster. So I was in that moment, I was just envisioning Alex running with me and was like, if he was here, I'd be pushing harder. And that's something I'm going to try to keep doing once I get back to the States and get back to training is like, hey, I can push a little harder than I've been pushing. You know, maybe there's some complacency or afraid to push that limit or something, but now I know I can do it. So we'll see. But there's that, you're riding that fine line, you know, like you don't want to overdo it too much to where you set yourself back multiple days. So
yeah, you could always just rest, you know. That's what, and I think that's one other thing with the plans too. Like when we get locked in, we're like everything has to go the way that it's written or the way that I feel like it should go. And then there's like, when that stuff happens to me, I'll be like, I need to be conservative here because later. And then if I don't, and then if I deviate from it, I'm like, I feel guilty almost, you know? So I think taking a little bit of that flexibility, like what Alex has going on and just kind of working it both ways.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
That sounds, that alone is really valuable when it comes to just being around other people, which it would be nice to have that. We can't train anymore now. You could have had a little bit. You're gone.
We were saying if we could all get together and train together for like a long time, we would all just get so fit, like or die one or the other.
That's like what college cross country was essentially. It's like if we have seven that get to the start line, great. But that's what running like the Bowerman, Tinman, I mean, CrossFit has that, Mayhem, the training think tank. It's a model that makes sense to get people that are training for something all in the same place. It'd be great to have something like that, but just like the resources right now, just a little bit limited.
Mm-hmm.
But we got great companies like ESN coming in, supporting us, helping us out. Did you guys try the new endurance stuff? Have you got your hands on that?
Yeah. Got some over here.
Got some right at the camp.
Bringing it back to the States.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a little bit of it. And yeah, I like it so far. I think it's solid stuff.
Yeah, they're just a good group of guys, man. Like, I feel like most of the time you sign a contract or a partnership with a company and you don't really get to know
the people behind.
Yeah, the people behind it, you know. Mm-hmm. And having somebody like Benny, who is the CEO of the company here, he's one of us. Like I really mean that. Like this dude is out here doing every single workout plus some trying to get better at High Rocks, you know, like he's really passionate about this. And it's nice to build a relationship with like your boss in a way and like seeing them push themselves just gives me respect for them. It makes me want to promote the brand more, you know, and the whole team, not just Benny, but the whole team has just been amazing. And unfortunately for us in the States, there's no shipping right now to the States. But you know, if you do live in the UK or in Europe, you can get it.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to get my hands on too much of stuff yet, just the endurance line. Alex, what's like your favorite product that they have?
Boy, it's very hard to say. I just started like using the endurance line like a week ago.
And now you can run up 410. Nice.
I,
You get that endurance line in you. Now you're sub 4:10 miler, just like that.
Yeah, now I'm sub. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the taste is okay. It's not like, I mean, it's okay. You can drink it. But I think like the from nutrition side, a lot of stuff is inside all you need almost. And I think for me, it works. Like I'm now using like ESM products from September, I think, like almost 6 months, 7 months. And I mean, I feel good, like waking up every day. I'm not sick. I'm not getting ill. Yeah, the training works. I have power. I have energy. I had it before. Yeah. But I'm not sure if it is just the products or if it is like my all around, like regeneration, how I sleep, how I eat. But it makes me feel like you can get like a couple of percentage out of the products and to add it like to your performance for sure. But yeah, you need to find out what works for you and what doesn't work. I'm using like creatine for the strength sessions. I'm using the athlete stack, like where you have all the vitamins you need in but I'm not like putting in like 20 of these small pills every day. I'm like doing it. Yeah, I like every second day, every third day, I'm gonna take a couple of them and just what I feel I need that day, I'll take it. And yeah, I like the electrolytes. These are perfect, like for during the workouts and everything, during hard training sessions. And I like that this that there is an amount of salt in it. That's just what we need, I think, like during these hard sessions when we're like sweating a lot. And yeah, and we're gonna see like the next couple of months. What will they bring more? Because they are like working every day on some new products, on some new stuff, and to make their life and our performances better at High Rocks and all at endurance sport all around. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
That's what is nice, that they're definitely committed to creating something where there's a need, and especially on the endurance side of things. And you can tell they're putting a lot of thought into the product itself, like having things that are proven to do well for endurance athletes, like beetroot juice, like tart cherry stuff, like some anti-inflammatory things like ginger. Like they're putting a lot of high quality things into these products. And yeah, it's just good. Like you said, it's just good to have to cover your bases, right? It's like, it's hard to cover your bases on your own with just like regular food. And this is just a great way just to make sure you are meeting the demands of that, what we have as athletes. And so you're just not missing anything, because it's really easy just to, like you said, the electrolytes, like it's hard to know when you are low on those, but like we probably always are. So it's a good idea just to have it whenever you're working out. I pretty much have electrolytes in every water that I drink now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like rarely will I just drink water by itself.
Well, you like the old Mio in there. A little squirt.
That was my jam. That was my jam.
A little squirt of Mio, yeah. straight into the, just freebasing it. All right, fam. You're good to go. What time are you guys out of here?
Alex leaves tonight. He's leaving in a few hours.
Oh, wow. Taking like a red eye home, I guess.
Time to go home.
He'll get back at like 11 tonight.
What's the flight like for you? Is it like 3 hours?
Yeah, just 3 hours. Yeah.
And then Kent, you got a long haul.
We leave tomorrow afternoon. We fly to London, and then we're staying overnight in London just to make it a little bit easier. And then we leave Monday morning from London and get back to the States pretty early on in the day, because we go back so many hours. So.
And then Cologne, not this weekend, next weekend. Next weekend? No, two weekends from today. What do you guys think in that last chance qualifier for the European athletes? Well, we got to pick Luke. If Luke doesn't win, who wins?
I would go with. Do you know if any Americans are coming?
I don't think so. I don't believe Magida is going to, he would be the one that would make a trip like that. Outside of that, I don't believe Colin or Anas or.
Is he American?
Who's that?
He's American.
Gabe Heck.
But he lives in Thailand. He might come. I have not heard.
I'm going with an UK guy. I don't know their names, but I'm going with an UK guy.
You're just picking against, you're picking against Tobias. You're picking against JK. You're just picking any guy from the England. That's.
Mm-mm. Oh, shit. No, I'm going with an UK guy. I think like it's all in or nothing on that, in that race, and everybody can win. It's going to be very, very tight. I mean, yeah, if you are more experienced, you have a bit of an advantage, but yeah, it's easy to go out too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. But if you go out like slow, it's going to be very hard to win that race, because everybody will try hard at the very beginning and try not to die.
Right.
And like, if this works out for somebody, he's going to take the spot.
Like, and that's where you could see someone like Lucas, like going out and just being able to sustain and maybe getting far away from Tobias where he just can't make it up at the end. So Lucas has a great shot, but John Wynn, the UK guys, yeah, like Harry Thompson.
It's just, dude, it's impossible to predict these races a lot of the times, man. Yeah. You know, especially with, you know, a lot of these guys who are kind of in that middle pack where they're constantly like shifting positions from one race to the next. But I think Luke, I really do believe Luke can at least get to the wall balls first. And then it's just like, can he close it out?
Has he been doing wall balls nonstop in Cyprus? Has it just been wall balls? You just look for Lucas, he's at the wall ball target.
I mean, he did a couple of mistakes in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Like really a couple of mistakes.
He was just
like
tired.
Four or five.
Yeah.
I mean, he started very well. And then, like, miscounted the laps on the first round.
But he still waited.
He didn't miss the lap.
He was, like, starting out very hard. He wanted, like, to make a gap. And then after two laps, he didn't know, like, when to go in for the ski. And he waited for the guys in the back to ask them. And then he was, like, asking the guys.
And then Pelayo came in front, and he didn't know either. Pelayo was like, are we going?
Yeah.
That didn't make it.
And, I mean, yeah. And then, that's a very big mistake. And then
that probably helped.
Going hard, Jörg. And then
he dropped the sandbag early.
Dropped the sandbag, yeah. And his wall balls weren't on point on that day. No. It's, yeah, if he can, like, fix all of this. And
he dropped the kettlebells like three times, I think. He was just tired. He just went for it.
I mean, this time it won't be a grid race. Like,
Right. I like it. I like his chances. But yeah, and like the one thing with a race like this, and you guys know, it's hard to win. You have to like be ready to win a race, and you have to win this race to qualify. Like you can't just like.
Yeah, it's crazy that there's only, it's win or nothing.
It's win or nothing. So there's only a couple guys in this that like are like, who have won big races, Luke being one of them, Tobias being another one.
It's going to be fun to watch. We're going to be there. We're going to be watching this.
Going to be out there. That's going to be cool. Yeah. That's going to be intense. All right. Cool.
What's your prediction?
I don't know. I like Luke here. Again, if he can hang on, like you can't rule out JK or John Wynn, because they have run big races in the past. I guess, yeah. If you're looking Tobias. Yeah. I don't know what kind of shape he's in. You have any idea?
He looks good. He's preparing. He's getting ready for that race.
Yeah. Which would make sense. I mean, I'd probably pick Tobias on this one. Just based off experience. Like, he's been there. If he's fit, like, he'll be locked in and know how to run his race. And there's going to be a lot of athletes who do go out too hard and are going to come back. You know, so there might be one. And if there's not, like, one person that can break away, then I think everybody in that front pack might be coming backwards when he's going forward. Outside, he knows how to finish. And then the women's race is like wide open, and there's like, I think they have three spots. So I have no idea.
They have like 7 spots.
I think they have like more than 3, right?
Yeah, 3 in Cologne and 4 in Anaheim. Or
yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. Crazy.
All right, squad, I'll let you go. Thanks for taking the time out there in paradise. You guys look nice and tan. Jealous.
We'll get back to regular scheduled programming here soon. It's just been a little hectic lately with the move and traveling, but get dialed back in here soon.
We'll do it. We'll do it. And then we'll see you guys in racing in Cologne. Alex is going for that mixed doubles record. He's going to, and then you guys are going to try for that. Do we know what the relay record is? Mixed doubles relay? Does that even matter? Is that going to be light?
I think the Germans are holding the record, and it's, I don't know, 55, 56. It's not a big, like, a big
take. Take that down to
a couple of minutes.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. That's when Kent will be removed from the USA team after they see how he does on that relay. And you're like, let's reevaluate this. All right, squad. I appreciate you guys taking time, and we'll talk to you soon. Sir.
Bye. Thanks.